Well, we are wrapping up our last series of the year at Plunge called Alter Ego. So our goal in this series is to take our egos, what we think about ourselves, and to sacrifice those at the altar. Sacrifice who we think we are so that we can become instead of not who we think we are, but what God says we are. And so today we're going to look at laying down our longing and our desire for approval and acceptance. We all love to be loved, but, you know, and the reality is, if I was just honest with you, like, even me, for as long as I can remember, I've longed for the approval of others, like most of us. As a child playing sports, I remember distinctly stepping up to the plate in baseball on my sixth grade team, and it was the first team I was on that was, like, an actual competitive, like, club team. And I remember seeing my parents in the stands as I stepped up to the plate and just thinking, man, I hope I hit the ball. I hope I get on base. Like, I want to look good. I want to play good. My parents are watching me and my friends are watching me. And we have this longing for approval to do something that's worth being noticed. I remember as a young pastor, 22 or 23 years old, at Central Baptist Church in Winfield, Kansas, I was the youth and worship pastor, so I led the youth group, but I also led the worship services on Sunday. It was a smaller church, so I had like double role. I remember that first Sunday getting up at the pulpit to lead our Sunday morning worship. My very first Sunday in my very first church was Easter. It was also my wife's birthday. And so she will tell you that I did not wish her happy birthday that day. I had a little bit of other stuff on my mind, and this is not an excuse. I totally failed at being a husband because I was so consumed with making sure this worship service went off without a hitch. I wanted those people to look at me as this young guy up there and almost like prove to them that I could do it. And that it was good and I was awesome. And we all have that same feeling, this desire to be someone and be noticed and be approved of and accepted. Maybe there's some of you that can relate. In case you think that this isn't an issue for you, let me give you four signs that you seek approval from others, all right? So you can fill in the blanks on your list, but also there's a little line just next to the number, and that's just like a checkbox. If you see yourself in this one, just check it. Just kind of make a little checklist here and see kind of where you land. So here's the first one. Four signs. Number one, you worry about what other people think. Maybe you know right away you can check it. Maybe you're on the fence and you can listen for a sec to see if you really feel like, oh, that's me, yeah. So for example, if you have to give a public speech, you get really nervous. Why are you nervous? I mean, some of us are introverts, so that's kind of scary. But anything publicly, the reason we get nervous is because we're scared of what other people think. We're scared of what they might say about us. We're consumed with what other people think. Or you delete 37 selfies until you find that one that is like exactly how you think you should look. Or you're in a group picture. I should have pulled out a group picture from like our Christmas party or something. If I threw up a group picture of middle school ministry, where do your eyes go to first? Yourself. Why? Because you want to see how you look. If you want to see how you look, you're going to judge the whole photo on how you look in that picture. And if you don't look good, it doesn't matter how great the rest of the photo is. It's like retake. We got to retake. It's because you care about what other people think. So if that's you, check the box. Here's number two. You're overly sensitive. So I can be this way. I preach in our main worship sometimes. In fact, on Mother's Day in a couple weeks, I'm going to be preaching in there. And if I get 20 people to tell me after the service how great it was, I'm feeling pretty good. But then if I hear one negative thing about it, all of a sudden, like, I failed. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. That one person didn't like it. And it ruins everything because we get overly sensitive and we exaggerate the negatives. Maybe you get a text, maybe you text a friend and or you DM them and they don't immediately send something back and it's like a number of minutes now and they haven't responded and your brain starts spinning out of control. Like, did I say something? Are they mad at me? You know, we get overly sensitive because we long for their approval and we care what they think. So do you catch yourself there? Check that box. Here's number three. You compromise your values. I'm sure that there are things that you believe deeply down inside of yourself that you don't think you would ever compromise, but then that nasty little need for approval comes along, and you will sometimes compromise what you know is right for the approval of others, to fit in. You're a young girl, you love God, you want to honor God with your purity, save yourself completely for your husband one day, but then there's that guy that comes along and is pushing you to go places, to do things you know is not right, and sometimes you compromise your values. Guys, you're hanging out with other guys, they're making crude jokes or using language that you know wouldn't be honoring to God, and you just kind of like coast into that, and you kind of laugh at the jokes, and you catch yourself saying some of the same words. Why? We know that that's not right. That's not what God would be pleased with, but we do it because we want to be accepted. We don't want to be left out. We don't want to look like the religious guy, you know, the Jesus freak. We compromise our values. Here's number four, the last one. Fourth sign is, you hesitate sharing your faith. Yeah, we worry about what other people think. We get overly sensitive sometimes to the negatives. We compromise our values. But ultimately, it results in this, that we don't live out the life of a Christian. We really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he transforms lives and he forgives sins. He makes us new. And you've got this friend that needs to know Jesus. You know they don't go to church. Maybe they're even hurting. They're like asking questions even. And you want to share God with them, but you don't want to be that freako religious person. You don't want to feel like you're shoving it down their throat. Or maybe you don't know that you would come off right as like knowing all the right answers, or you don't know how to respond. And so you just let it slide and you don't share your faith. You get a little timid because you long for their approval. You don't want to stick out. You don't want to be different. So those are four simple signs that we can see in our life that we fall into all the time because we have this longing for approval. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss out, and we're going to miss one of the most powerful truths that we can live our life by, and it's the big idea for tonight. Here's the big idea. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Man, our world is so obsessed with how we appear and what people think about us and what people say and how many likes and how many followers and the group we hang out with and all the credentials and the rap sheet we can come up with, and becoming obsessed with all that stuff, letting it drive you, is the quickest way to lose sight of God, who he says you are, and forget God for the longing and acceptance of others. In fact, Proverbs 29:25, let's get to the Bible. Here's what it says. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. I think in the ESV it might say snare, but trusting the Lord means safety. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Fearing people, what will they do? What will they, it's not like being terrified like in a horror movie of everybody that you look at, but it's being fearful of what they will think or say about you. What will they think? What will they do? What will they say? How will they treat me? How will they respond? Fearing people. The Hebrew word, in fact, for snare, where it says trap up there, is this word mokesh. And a mokesh is, it's like a hooked ring that you hook into animal or like cattle's noses, and you would hook a chain onto that ring so that you could guide the animal around wherever you wanted it to go. And so fearing people is like a dangerous mokesh that you put in your nose so that they can just grab a hold of the reins and take you wherever they want you to go. That's why it's dangerous, because all of a sudden you're not leading yourself. You're just following after them. When we're supposed to be following after God, that's why it says trusting the Lord means safety. Pleasing people, are you ready for this? It's idolatry. Idolatry is putting anything above God, and it's a sin. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And so when we put the approval of people above the opinion of God, all of a sudden we have found ourselves in sin. It's making people too big and making God too small in our lives. Becoming obsessed with what people think is the quickest way to lose sight of what God thinks about you. So jump into your first discussion time. Let's talk about some of these things and these ideas, and then we'll keep rolling here in 7 minutes once the timer comes down. Go for it. So we worry about what other people think. We get overly sensitive to our emotions and to the negatives. We compromise our values. We even hesitate sharing our faith. So now, the question is, how do we overcome this desire to please, this desire for approval, for acceptance? Let me give you two thoughts, okay? So two applications to drive this home. And the first is, here's what we should do. Instead of the four things we talked about earlier, we should focus on pleasing God instead of pleasing people. That seems really obvious and really trite to even say, like, duh, it's that simple. We want to not live for the crowd and the people out there, but for an audience of one, our God up there in heaven, our Lord. And so Paul said it this way in Galatians 1:10. Paul says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Oof, that kind of just hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? Don't miss it. If pleasing people was my goal, then I couldn't follow Christ. They're opposed to each other. So obviously, we can't be trying to win the approval of people, but of God. So let's focus on that. That's our goal. So here's something we've got to keep reminding ourselves every day. And the reminder is simple. I can't please everyone. But you know what I can please? I can please God. Because God already is pleased with you. When he looks at you as his beloved child, a masterpiece, he is in love with you. He is pleased with you. And if you're a follower of him, like the Bible says, when you come face to face with him in heaven, the first thing he's going to say is, well done. You are good. You've been faithful. I'm pleased with you. And you're not going to get that response from other people, but you can from God. So let's focus on the person who we can please anyway and who's the most important to please, because we can't please everyone, but we can please God. And so let's focus on him. That's first. The second application is this. So we live off of the approval of God instead of the approval of people. So we focus on pleasing God, and then that energy, that excitement, that adrenaline that we get from pleasing others and that acceptance and approval, you know, funnel that and live off of the acceptance and approval and pleasing of God instead of other people. And this could be life transforming if we internalize this truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, listen, God already approves of you through Christ. He already approves of you. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. That's talking about every follower of Christ. You are a messenger of God. You have been approved by him. You've been entrusted by him with the greatest news the world knows, that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins in our place to pay the penalty of sin, which was death, and he rose 3 days later and now is the only way into heaven by faith in him. And so he approves of you to take that message to others. because you are found worthy. You are found enough. He sees you as a beloved child. And so that should pump us up, and that should give us energy, and that should fuel us for our life every day. And so we live off of that approval of God. We don't have to seek out the approval of others to kind of get that fuel and excitement. And so here's what this looks like in real life. How do we focus on pleasing God and not others? How do we live off this approval of God? And when maybe someone says something bad about us, or we feel like we're not accepted, how do we not just tank in our daily life? Well, here's two images. This first image represents living off of the approval of others. So yellow is kind of your journey following Christ, and then you hit a red line where it could be something negative someone said about you. It could be something bad that happened to you, something that disrupts your life that you didn't see coming. It could be your own thoughts internalizing negative emotions about yourself or about the world, and that red line then taints everything else. And all of a sudden, we're living off of the approval or disapproval that we feel externally from people. When we hit that red line, all of a sudden, our walk with Christ is tainted when we're living off of external. Here's what happens, though, as a follower of Christ. When you live off the approval of God, you're still going to hit those red markers, right? I mean, bad things are going to happen. People are going to say mean things. You're not always going to be accepted. You're not always going to fit in. You're not going to get what you want. But when you live off the approval of God, you don't need that stuff anymore. And you can bounce back. And yeah, it's going to hurt and sting, and it might disrupt your life for a little bit, because who can just brush everything off? That's not reality. But as you work your way back to God, the external negatives and stuff just kind of fade away, and you can get back where you need to be with Him. That's what this looks like when we live for the approval of God alone. And so whose voice are you listening to? Let's watch this video. See, when you listen to your Heavenly Father, who knows you better than anyone, who loves you more than anyone, it can change everything, no matter what you feel about yourself or what you hear about yourself. No longer do you have to do things for attention. No longer do you have to act a certain way to feel better. No longer are you bound by your need for approval of other people. You are loved and approved by God. And so He's already given you His unconditional love, and that can change everything. And so as you jump into your last discussion time, I'm going to hand out a sheet of paper that we won't really have too much time to kind of use tonight, but look over it, and maybe you can even answer the question in your group, like which one of these, just as you're glancing down, which one of these jumps out to you? It's 100 identity truths. And so just like that boy was learning about who he was, we can learn about who we are in Scripture. With a lot of these start with I am, or I have, or I know. So like, I am born again. I am a child of God. I am the light of the world. I am a disciple. And so what does the Bible say about you? You can look this over as you talk in your last discussion time. This is a good good handy little thing to take home, stick in your Bible, put on your mirror. It's just 100 reminders of who you are, because sometimes we need to be reminded. And the more we're reminded, the more we believe. And what you believe affects how you behave. And so let's jump into our last discussion time, and we'll wrap up here.